Safety Chats. Host Jason Stark, Director of Safety at Baldwin Safety and Compliance, shares decades of aviation experience and a passion for safety. Each podcast episode will focus on an element of safety that can help you in your workplace, whether it's a cockpit, vehicle, or hangar. Let's get started with this week's Safety Chat.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Baldwin Safety Chat podcast, the podcast where we talk about just about anything safety management or even safety related, things that keep you safer, things that can help us do our jobs better. I'm just really happy to be here. I want to talk a little bit about gap analysis. Very crucial starting point to implementing anything within your organization. And also, you'll see that it's not only something that's introductory, but it's something that should be done at probably a regular interval to see if you've strayed, to see if you're meeting your objectives and your processes are performing correctly. Gap analysis itself is a process. It's used to compare actual performance versus expected performance or against some ideal. It's more or less you're comparing what you're doing now to potentially what you could be doing, what you should be doing. It looks at your business as what's going down right now versus where you want to go with your business or where you want to go with your flight department and how you close that gap. That's where the name comes from, that gap between what is to what should be or what will be. We do this, importantly, when we say we're going to set out to implement safety management or we say we're going to set out to implement some standard, we first need to embark on a gap analysis. And there's a couple of steps in there, but I want to kind of jump to this because gap analysis is really helpful because you might already have things in place that satisfy the standard or satisfy your future state where you want to be. By having these in place, by doing a gap analysis, you can identify things that you might already have in place, and it prevents you from having to recreate the wheel, as the saying is. It's really important that we give a good start there. And when we look at the gap analysis too, it really comes from a proactive stance because you really want to know what you're getting into. You want to know what's in place and you want to know what still needs to be done. The neat thing about the gap analysis is that in the end of the gap analysis, you will see that gap and you will have to determine, well, how are we going to fill that gap? And that will be the basis of your implementation plan. If we're talking about checking and using the gap analysis, that's going to form the basis of your remedial actions or what you need to do to get back up to where you desire to be. So we talked about the gap analysis initially during implementation or before starting implementation. But as you are filling those gaps, it is very important as that project is progressing, as you are going down that road of filling the gaps and getting closer to where you want to be, the ideal that you're looking for, it's still important to continue to do a gap analysis. So do another gap analysis and maybe after another milestone or stage check, however you plan out your progress, do another gap analysis because we want to see if we're actually on the right track, if we are filling the right gaps, and are we doing what we're supposed to be doing. So it's good to continually do gap analyses often during the implementation process. I promise you, once you do the first one, it's only going to get easier from there. Make sure you do that gap analysis during the implementation process and then even after. And it's really interesting too that when we're preparing in this BAO audit or some industry standard audit or even regulatory audit, I know a lot of us use the term, well, we're going to do a pre-audit. We're going to look to make sure that everything's in place. Well, in actuality, what you are doing is a gap analysis. You're looking at what you have in place now. Does it meet the standard that you're about to be assessed on, which is the ideal state? It's your goal to be registered with that standard or be recognized for having implemented that standard. What you're doing is you're looking at what you are now to where your goal is, where you want to be. And then obviously, if you find gaps, you are going to work to fill those gaps so that you are at that ideal state. By doing gap analyses, it helps us to create better processes. Also, it helps illuminate to stakeholders what's going on. In the most pragmatic sense, when you do a gap analysis prior to an audit, the stakeholder being the auditor, you're showing him what's going on or her what's going on and where everything is. But importantly, internally, before starting the implementation of something like the ISBAO or starting something like the implementation of safety management, by doing the gap analyses and showing the gaps, one of the important stakeholders being your accountable executive or being your CEO, whoever controls the money, but showing them, hey, if we want to go to this ideal state, this is what is going to be needed. It's not like you're just kind of throwing spaghetti at the wall and see if it will stick, only getting resources as they come up. But with a gap analysis, you could show these are the areas we are going to need resources. So the gap analysis is very important for that as well. And I think overall, when we do a gap analysis, whether it be during implementation or prior to implementation or post-implementation, to see that everything is in place, gap analysis will help improve efficiency because you're seeing the ideal state of your processes, where you want to be. And in your ideal state of the processes should be as most efficient as possible. If we do a gap to that and find that we're not, now we have the opportunity to improve that process. We have an opportunity to fix it and make it more efficient. Now that should sound an awful lot like continuous improvement, and it actually is. So let's talk about doing one of these bad boys. What are the steps to the gap? There's many resources out there in literature and how we should do the gap. First, you want to identify your current state. So you're going to look at what you have in place now, and you're going to determine what do we have, maybe in reference to the standard or to the safety management system or whatever it is you're implementing or whatever it is you want your future state. You want to know where you are now. And I think that's really important because as we analyze the current state, we have to know everything that's going on in our organization. So we look at all the different programs we have and we identify those, list them out, and then now we have a good baseline to say, okay, the second step, where do we want to be with our future state? Now, this is actually where the standard comes in or the regulatory framework for safety management. However you're implementing it, you identify your future state, which would be the goals you're trying to achieve, desired state of existence, I guess is a fancy way to put it. What desired state of existence should be to comply with your civil aviation authority's regulatory requirements, ICAO requirements, or ISBA requirements, or ACSF. You're going to identify as your future state. You know where you are. You have the entire portfolio of where you need to be contained in the standard, regulation, or whatnot. And so what you can do is move on to the next step and identify the gaps. And you're going to see you're going to have some gaps, especially your first go at it. And you know what? That's okay, because it really helps to provide more insight into your organization, because when you're looking at it a lot closer now, when you identify the gaps, it also gives you the chance to dig deeper and ask the question, well, why do we have the gap? Well, we didn't know. We didn't know what ISBAO wanted and we didn't put it in. I mean, it may be as simple as that, or it's something we talked about once, but we just didn't have the resources, or we didn't think it was important. But it gives you the opportunity, I believe, to really dig in and determine the why for the gap, or the why the gap happened. Where this is really comes in, more importantly, is putting the gap right now in the context of implementing a system or implementing a new program. But when we've already implemented a program, for example, like some kind of system or regulation or a program, when we've implemented, we've apparently at one point had all the pieces in place. So if we do a gap analysis on that process or procedure again, or that standard, whatever it may be, we have gaps. Now those are going to have some good answers. Why all of a sudden do we have a gap now? Is somebody not fulfilling their duties or responsibilities? Did we have something drop by the wayside? I think that gives you a really good tool when we identify the gaps to really find out, to see if something deeper or systemic is happening in the organization. So once we've identified the gaps, obviously the next step is, well, how are we going to fill that gap? I mean, what are we going to do? And again, this is the basis. If we're taking the context of implementing a standard or implementing safety management, this is the basis of your implementation plan. It's going to be your project plan and what it is you need to do to fill that gap. And it's important that you create an end date for when you want those gaps to be resolved, because if you don't put a date on it, well, guess what? Those gaps are going to remain gaps. They're going to be like the potholes in Chicago. They're always going to be there. And I'm not picking anybody from Chicago. So put a date on it and make sure that you get those resources committed to it. But it shouldn't be a surprise, because remember, the gap analysis has helped to inform the stakeholders of what might be needed. So when we've identified the gaps, one step you might want to put in there is discuss it with leadership. Say, these are the gaps and these are the resources we're going to need as part of the second one, how to fill the gaps and bridge the gaps. And then what's the last step? Well, it's your future state. You're going to be at your future desired state. Now, there is only one asterisk with this one, going back to identify the current state and identify the future state. This is where I see some people kind of get hung up. When we're identifying the future state, what we're doing is we're looking at, well, what is the standard asking, or what is the requirement asking? The big problem there is not having a full understanding or comprehension or grasp on what it is exactly asking. When I was with the ISBAO program, this was probably one of the biggest challenges, because they are performance-based standards. And with a performance-based standard, how you get to that standard is, well, truly up to the organization, as long as it wasn't against regulatory guidelines. So there was no real answer on how to implement it. So people sometimes would misunderstand or not really know what the standard is asking. It could be the same with like safety management. The FAA is pretty clear on most of the regulations in Part 5, but not all of them. Or if you're implementing SMS from the ICAO framework from the MX-19. That's more performance-based. So if you don't understand what it's asking, if you don't know what it's asking of you to be in that future state, it is very hard to determine if you're already there or how you're even going to get to that future state. So big asterisk, when you identify your current state and then identify your future state, make sure you understand that future state, what it's really asking for and what it means to your organization. But that's it. What is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 steps to the gap analysis. I don't think I can overstress its importance in terms of knowing your organization and knowing who you are and where you want to go. So I hope you learned a little something there today. I know I did when I was looking into this in terms of the way the gap is used in different industries. But nonetheless, interesting topic. Like I said, I hope you learned something. Hope you enjoyed it. I would love to hear from you. See what's on your mind and love to talk about it. Hope to see you in the next one. Until then, thank you guys so much for what you do, and stay safe.
This podcast is brought to you by Baldwin Safety and Compliance, the leader in safety management for the transportation industry. Since 2004, Baldwin has been providing state-of-the-art solutions and 24/7 support to the aviation and transportation industries. Baldwin's clients include all sizes and types of transportation operators. Baldwin provides safety and related business services to commercial and non-commercial transportation operators, medical transporters, FBOs, MROs, airports, flight schools, UAS operators, firefighters, OEMs, ground transport operators, and others. Visit BaldwinSMS.com to discover how Baldwin can enhance your organization's safety program.